In this episode of What the Prophets Say with myself, Emma Stark, and Sam Robertson, we are continuing our mini-series looking at the prophetic movement. We're in breath two, prophets with teeth. Join us for this episode of What the Prophets Say. Hello, loyal listeners, and welcome to another episode of What the Prophets Say with me, Emma Stark, and Mr.
Sam Robertson.
Samuel. It's not even Samuel.
Just Sam.
Sam Robertson. Do you remember when I asked people to offer suggestions for your middle name?
Yes.
People did.
They did.
They did. They were very hilarious.
They were very hilarious.
They're very hilarious.
I'm not sure if we could go with
anything. No, let's not go with anything. Just Sam Robertson is fine. How are you today, Sam?
Yes, I am well. But my name is just Sam Robertson.
It is just Sam Robertson.
No middle
name. Not just Sam. The
Sam Robertson.
Sam Robertson.
Well, the Sam Robertson. But in the secondary school I went to, there were seven of us. All with the same name.
No.
It was brilliant because when I was slightly naughty, you could get away with being late because other people got the late notification. But seven Sam Robertsons in the one school. Can you believe that?
I'm sure you never got a late mark a day in your life.
Do you know I held the record in one year for being late? I live 5 minutes away, but that I changed that. I reformed when I turned 15.
No, I don't think of you as a late person at all.
No, I was not. Well, I was earlier.
I think of my dad as a late person. Yeah. He's late for his own sermons that he preaches. He's hilarious.
He is. He goes to his own time.
It is John Hansford time. Yes. Uh-huh.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Nope. There we go.
Can I ask how many days were you late? Do you remember?
Like almost every day of the calendar year for school. I don't know if it's something to be proud of or not. Maybe I need...
That's so naughty.
The problem was as well, my secondary school teacher was best pals with my mum, so I never got away with anything like that. Yeah, so... Dangerous things.
Your mother would have been shouting up the stairs, Sam Robertson, get ready for school.
Well, the problem, they used to leave early for work, so they never knew. Mm-hmm. There we go.
And then you turned over a new leaf.
Then I turned over a new leaf, and then I freak out if we're potentially going to be late.
What changed?
Well,
the glory of God.
The glory of God. No, Jesus. It was sort of Jesus. And then I left school and then went into ministry and that changed. And then I just loved what I did. So I was going to be early because I was excited.
Well, that's good. Okay. Well, we're in this mini series. This is session three of our mini series, looking at the development of the prophetic movement. Now, as you will recall, loyal listeners, from the previous session, we were starting to feel our way around these three breaths or three stages within the prophetic movement. And you'll need to listen to the last one if you didn't catch it. But really, we are wrestling with the third breath, and we're catching you up as best we can. We're in Ezekiel. Do you want to recapture breath one and then lead us into the explanation of breath two?
So breath one, really, from Ezekiel 37, that's the chapter, Valley of Dry Bones. You will know it well. Verses 7-8. Talks about the initial prophecy, so Ezekiel's first word that brings form to the bones, form to the skeletons, form to the flesh. This sense that we were in through Bishop Bill Hammond and others like him, a three-decade-long and longer period of time with prophecy where the revelation was, I can hear God and I've got something to tell you about what he's saying, and the value for personal words.
Yes.
That's where we were. Second breath, Ezekiel 37:10, the second wave, and the first person, second one to really prophesy, it happened to be Tim Hammond, Bishop Bill's son, and he prophesied that just under 10 years ago. But here's the verse, it says this, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. And this second wind, second breath, second phase, whatever you want to call it, that it was really then about getting added onto what we know of the foundational personal words. God has something to say about nations, peoples. He has something to say corporately. But his massive thing is the revelation of the army and army readiness. We are called to wage war. Mm-hmm. Spiritual warfare is important. We are weaponized by heaven and the spirit realm. And prophecy goes forth, not just to encourage, but as a weapon of war to liberate and to establish the kingdom of God. And yeah. that is where you see Ezekiel 37:10, the armies filled with breath and can start functioning as an army.
So the development from personal prophetic words to prophets who are dealing with nations, territory, regions, and army readiness, that's quite a jump.
Yep.
But here we are in Ezekiel 37, seeing Ezekiel asked to prophesy three consecutive times.
Yeah.
And with each prophetic unction, he is adding something to what he's been asked to do, or God is adding to yeah. him a different function. And this is the model. Now, I think people really struggled.
Yeah.
And you get the coming up to it a little bit like, I want to grow and I want to prophesy over nations, but I'm fearful of overstepping. So you get a lot of words that sound like, God's just going to bless your nation. Your nation's going to be a success. Your nation is God's favorite, because there is this loving of the individual yeah. that is applied to the loving of the nation, but it's light. And it's not really bringing an accurate word that's specific to your yeah. nation. It's so people are trying to get there, but actually there's nothing to be useful to be built with.
Yeah,
it is what we saw. Or people came to too fast and furious and ended up in this slapdown type of prophecy that was a bit overstated.
Yeah.
So you got a load of, we would call them the judgment prophets. You got an overstating. And it is trying to come from, I'm understanding that there's a value to prophesy over the individuals, to shifting into, I understand the function is beyond the individual. I have teeth, prophets with teeth, and I am looking at the masses and nations.
Yes.
I'm looking at now the Ephesians 4 call,
yep.
the office of the prophet. I'm looking at leadership within the local community and local body of Christ. I am looking at the sense of aligning people. I'm looking at securing the future of the nation, but I'm bringing in sometimes a little bit of sharpening, a little bit of correction, a little bit of timing, a little yeah. bit of direction. I'm starting to move into that with teeth. And you had a load of prophetic words, maybe what, 5-7 years yeah. ago, that prophets will now have teeth. Which was kind of the shorthand for the step up into this place.
Yeah.
And you will be able to measure whether you heard prophets that overdid that or underdid that, trying to embrace this step.
Absolutely. And so you have in the first breath this whole idea of the prophetic word has to be accessible to the individual. But in the second breath, there's this releasing of the prophetic word with authority to the masses. And it is very much tied to nations mm-hmm. or boundaries. And it's within this particular one that you see specialities in. I'm a prophet to business, or I'm a prophet to... So rather than just I'm a prophet to a person,
yep.
personal prophetic words, you see people then with the, it's where you get the seven mountain revelation,
yes.
which is helpful in some ways of how society is framed,
yep.
but that sense of, oh, I have a call to politics, or I have a call to prophesy into business or to yep. family or whatever yep. that might
so
be.
So the prophet to nations concept
the
emerges,
to nations.
Or the prophet to Hollywood, or the prophet to business,
absolutely.
Or the prophet to, I don't know, the church, or...
Yeah, pick one. Yeah.
Economics, banking.
Absolutely.
Arises.
So you see this move, and actually it's a brilliant move because it incorporates warfare into prophetic words.
Yes.
It incorporates the army of the Lord. And so when we prophesy, you start to hear a little bit more of conversations about there was mm-hmm. this principality that God's dealing with. There's that. The problem really with this group, with this wave, and we all are in it, is mm-hmm. because it's about alignments, you get the weakness of factions
yes.
or of side
territorial
territorialism.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And ultimately, when you're prophesying to government or politics or a structure, they are human structures. They
yes.
are created
yes.
structures. And so you get caught up there. And it's very much you then get just as we've seen, you can conflate kind of the word of God with geopolitical boundaries, and you kind of get lost in there. The nation state and securing the nations. But as brilliant as it has made us more military minded.
Yes, and I think that it doesn't always get that there is a stage three or a breath three in Ezekiel for the prophets to become. So the end game in this level is not actually the kingdom of God. The end game is when you fall off and go too extreme with this second breath is political leadership.
Absolutely.
And so you see the politicalization of the prophets who don't read to the end of Ezekiel 37 and are trying to steward nations, but don't understand how the kingdom of God works. So they just prophesy all about politics.
Absolutely.
So it is stepping up, but it's not understanding what the step up is to be. That the step up is actually correction, holiness, direction, timings, and calling people to a standard of behavior rather than securing political leaders who you like because they're going to bring comfort to you personally.
So in the first breath, confirmation of the word is very much personal encouragement and comfort. When you prophesied that, I knew it was right because I felt encouraged and comforted.
Yes.
In the second breath, the confirmation of the word has unfortunately at times tipped into mass agreement and is there harmony? Do I agree with the word? Does that make sense within a nation or potentially political framework? That then became the measurement of whether or not the word was right.
And the interesting kind of swimming in the soup of this second breath is because you're looking at territory and because you're taking responsibility rightly for nations, you are thinking about boundaries.
Yeah.
And once you think boundaries, or I will protect and prophesy over this land mass or this nation, you are partnering a little bit with territorial. Now, I think the territorial spirits. So we all have to agree about this prophetic word. And don't you speak anything that's, you know, outside of the agreement of this room, rather than how can we bring our portion and how can we be iron sharpening iron? That seemed to get lost. So we've developed rather than the, man, we can all prophesy here, let's line up some individuals. We became, this is my group of prophets and you're in your group of prophets and we're going to deal with this nation and we're responsible for that nation. And it became ugly and territorial, though we were all doing our best to step into the second wind, which has a sense of army, nations, and the advancement of people groups.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see why, because whenever you step up into anything, you have to find your feet
you
in
do.
It. So I wouldn't want to speak too critically of it. I just would want to bring understanding as to why we've had these excess. Some people really struggled with this. Some people really struggled out of personal prophetic ministry.
A lot of people haven't made the leap either out of personal prophetic, not out of our up into the second breath.
Or to be able to do both,
to
really.
To be able to do both.
Yes.
And so you see either people leapt into the second breath without the first or have stayed in the first breath without the second. I think a lot of it is in the first, there was a sense of safety for all involved.
Yes.
Giving and receiving words. And that is massive. And with the second in its excesses, I think there's a fear that it could be dangerous for all involved.
Yes.
What if this is harmful or painful or divisive?
Yes.
And so you see the apprehension even with others and certain prophetic groups around the second breath, because it is military minded and it is about strident decisions and strong words and this is what the Lord says and here's what God is saying about this nation. It does create an opportunity to choose, but with that there's often a fear, do we lose the safety or perceived safety of the first breath?
Yes, and I think that because we didn't explain our own personal development as a worldwide prophetic movement. Right across the board, we had folk who were very disappointed to not get my word.
Yeah.
And of course, you've got the development of the individualistic culture in the midst of all of this journeying as well. So people come to the prophet because they want their word, not understanding that the prophet is being pulled by God into dealing with regions and territories. And so people didn't always want to receive or know how to, or we didn't express it well enough, you know, to. So, I mean, let's take. I know this is a little bit like left of center, but if I was to say to you, who communicates better, Mark Zuckerberg, who runs Facebook, or Greta Thunberg, you know, a teenager who's on a climate change agenda? Let's not talk about the morals of each, because they're both in their own ways controversial figures. Who's communicating better? Greta Thunberg, every day of the week. She has very little backing, you know, but she's got some ability to explain her case that is catching. There you have Mark Zuckerberg running Facebook, whatever it's called now, the metaverse, with billions of pounds of backers and still not able to quite explain, you know, online safety and what he wants to do with that, and, you know, how he's navigating all of that. And you look at some of his recent press stuff and you think that's clunky PR. So to be fair, when we look in the world around us, we see those who are able to explain what they're doing well, like Greta Thunberg, and those like Facebook who have just not been able to capture an understanding of what they're trying to do. And you see kind of how important it is that we capture hearts with an understanding of, when I come as a prophet, this is what you get. This is what the anointing is. This is how
here's what
to expect. Here's how you'll get your best from us. We'll absolutely seek to bless you individually. But actually, the best skill is that we're able to change nations and regions and secure that forward movement for you. We'll do some call outs individually as well. So we miss that PR pitch. So there is the need to explain. Prophets are great when they are getting the nation and the army ready. Now, we're going to leave you with another cliffhanger. You'll have to come back for the next episode for the third breath, the final third breath from Ezekiel 37, as we go on this journey of developing our revelation and our understanding within the word of God for what he wants from his prophets. So big, deep breaths, my friends. And I bless you if you've not become that voice who's thinking territory and region now. Let a responsibility hit you for territory, for region, for getting an army ready and calling people up and into place, prophesying and demonstrating and securing breakthrough for nations. I bless you into that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening to this episode of What the Prophets Say with me, Emma Stark. If you would like to go deeper with us, you would be very welcome to join our network, the Global Prophetic Alliance. You can find that at propheticscots.com, where we have a comprehensive training program to lead you into deeper realms of the Spirit of God and encounter. If you feel a call and a pull to deliverance ministry, you can download my latest e-course, which is a comprehensive overview of getting people free from demonic oppression. You'll find that at demonbusting.com. Join us on these different platforms for more interaction with Emma Stark, Sam Robertson, and the GPA team.